Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination Podcast. This is episode number 198, the fired up edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you're going to feel the fire as we go through today's show. We would like to stop just for a quick second and thank everybody who's listening to this show as a result of another podcast out there. If you heard my promo on the other show and you came on over here to check out us out, you know, for the contest and for everything else, thank you very much for giving us a shot. We hope that you'll stick around. If you're just here for the contest, don't worry. We're going to be giving you the details in just a little bit. We would also like to thank all of our new and returning listeners just in general. If this is your first time listening to the show, hi and welcome. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. If you're listening on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, that's where you would head to get more of this fine content. If you are a longtime subscriber, if you've been with us since the beginning or anywhere around about that part, you know, thank you so much. You have helped make a caffeinated empire that has spanned the past 2 years and going forward. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network since episode 20. If it's tech, it's here. If you are listening to us from over at Blueberry, we're also a proud member there as well. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. All right, let's see. If you'd like to comment on today's show, you can do so at caffeination@gmail.com. All the other contact information is listed up over at caffeination.com, so please feel free to do that. We want to do a quick little rundown on today's show. If you're looking for topics, then today's show is going to cover any and all of the following in no particular order: CES, wrap-ups, TPN, that's the Tech Podcast Network, News, Apple, Macworld, Halo, Speed Racer, Espresso, and Gizmodo Gate. We're going to explain all of them, so hopefully you'll understand them by the end of today's show. I'd like to think that we have a seriously cool amount of technology on today's show. There's a whole heap of interesting things I'd like to talk to you about today, and we have a great lineup for you. We do also have a little bit of PodSafe music like we usually do. We throw it down twice we used to throw it down twice. It's been twice on and off the past couple shows. We only got one, but it's a doozy for you today. It's actually an instrumental track, so there's no vocals in this one. But we do think that you're going to enjoy it, so hopefully you'll like that. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But first off, we would like to talk a little bit about our sponsor and thank them very much for all they've done for us here at the Caffeination Podcast. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office or step foot outside your door. You're not going to be the only one out there, so you can save time and money as well. Just see for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We've been sponsored for quite some time by them, and it has been a great relationship so far. We've had fun using the product, we had fun promoting it, and it's just a great relationship all the way around. So hopefully you'll take a couple minutes and check that out if you get a chance. The Caffeination Podcast is kind of an amalgam, in case you're wondering. It's of two different topics that I couldn't separate in my life. I am fanatical about technology news and tech tips and stuff like that. I'm the computer guy at work. I'm the guy that everybody comes to, so I like to think that it's one of the topics that I'm most passionate about, other than my family. It's technology, and it's also coffee. I can't separate coffee from my life. I spend a large part of my life in some kind of caffeinated haze, so I figured, you know what? This is going to be the Caffeine Nation. This is Caffeination Podcast. So it's all about technology, which I love, all about caffeine, and it's fueled by the very same caffeine. So hopefully you're going to feel a little bit of passion. You're going to feel a little bit of the energy that we got going for you here, and this is the Fired Up Edition. Just like I said, we are two away from our massive contest, the 2-in-2 promotion here at the Caffeination Podcast. So if you'd like to be entered into that, and what that is, it's we're going to do a randomized drawing. We're going to be printing everybody's name out, putting it in a hat. We're probably going to end up doing it live on Ustream, so nobody accuses me of any tomfoolery there. But At the very same point, what we're going to be doing is putting everybody's name into the hat who submitted an email to us. By the way, if you'd like to enter, all you have to do is type an email to caffeination@gmail.com, and the only thing you really need to do is put in the subject line an episode 200 contest or episode 200 giveaway. We'll accept either of the two. Just do that as soon as you can. You can only enter once. What you are bidding for, supposedly, is what you are bidding for in actuality, really, is a fun little gift pack. Basically, it's a pound of coffee from one of the fresh coffee roasters around where we live, and you are also getting a funky little stainless steel thermos from Apple Training. You're also getting a travel mug that goes along with it, and a bunch of the promotional packets of apple cider that they actually give out. So it's kind of fun little bundle that they gave out, and it's actually donated to the podcast. So that's what we're giving away here at the for the 200th episode. We're going to be giving it away on January 20th, 2008. So if you'd like to get your entries in, please do so as soon as possible. All right, up next we have the fun little music from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. And up here we have a great artist called Jake Lear and his song Ruth's Boogie. If you'd like to hear more about Jake's stuff, you can head on over to jakelear.com. That's jakelear.com. And you can find more of his stuff over at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Like I said, this is a little bit of an instrumental, not a little bit of an instrumental. There's no vocals in it, so it's an entire bit of an instrumental piece. However, it is a really good rockin' tune. It has a really good kind of a country bluesy vibe to it, and I started listening to it, couldn't click away. I was like, you know what, I have to throw this on the show. I'm fired up. This music's fired up. We're just going to throw it down and see what happens, all right? So again, here's Jake Lear with his song Ruth's Boogie from the PodSafe Music Network. Let me know what you think of this one. All right, so we're going to stop that for a second, and I'm actually going to go over to the website, because apparently the download is a little bit messed up. But you know what? We're trying to do this all in one little stream here at the Tech Podcast, or at the Caffeination Podcast. See, this is what happens when you try and do things live. Like I said, we have a lot of really fun content for you, but... it helps if that content comes out correctly. You know what I mean? So we're going to see if we can actually get this one. Yeah, this is Ruth's Boogie. All right, we're going to give it a little bit of a preload, and away we go. Let's hopefully it'll sound a little bit better here. Again, here's Jake Lear with Ruth's Boogie from the PodSafe Music Network. Again, that was Jake Lear with Ruth's Boogie from the PodSafe Music Network, direct from the PodSafe Music Network that time. No clue exactly why we had that issue, but hopefully I can make sure that doesn't happen again. I think there might have just been something wrong with my my connections. Had to check them for a little bit of a pause there, and then we got everything set up now. So hopefully going forward we won't have that issue. But that's the last little bit of PodSafe music we're playing for the day, so hopefully it won't rear again its ugly little head. All right. We have a fun little link to start off today's show from over at mopo.ca. They have a bunch of little sight gags they put up there every once in a while, and I've seen this phrase before, but I've never seen it executed quite this well. Cthulhu for president, you know, the unnamed evil, supposedly. The eater of worlds and everything else like that. The tagline in front of the squid-like, bat-winged presidential candidate in the backdrop of an American flag is, "Why choose the lesser evil?" It's basically for people who are pretty much fed up with the political system as it is. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. I've seen it on a couple people that I know listen to the show. I've seen this tagline in their general vicinity. So I think it was actually somebody's, I know it's somebody's, definitely somebody's Twitter logo in a less... a much clearer version, but not doesn't scale well to a larger print. So I'm actually going to print this out and put this in my office, because the image that I found is actually right around the size of a CD cover. So it's, you know, just big enough to put in my little window. There's a lot of political stuff that goes around on campus. You have people for different parties and everything else like that, and everybody's very passionate about it. But if you're passionate for just... you know, not really making a decision yet, then I guess that's the sticker for you. Just thought it was kind of interesting. Thought it would pass it. I'd pass it along. Don't really do politics too much here on the Caffeination Podcast. We do, however, do news that directly affects the technology community, and specifically the blogger and podcaster community. Now, here's one huge thing, and you're not going to be noticing, at least for a little while, news from Gizmodo here on the site for again. We're going to take a little bit of a hiatus. They have fantastic reporting, great content, but they're kind of ticking off the blogging community in general. Apparently, they had this little stunt where they sent a couple of their reporters, one specifically, around to different press events with media credentials inside CES with a TV be gone. They then posted the resulting hilarity on their website, including, you know, them shutting down a press event. You know, Motorola was holding a press event, and they were shutting off the LCD screens. I mean, yeah, it's one thing to, you know, go to Best Buy and hit up an LCD wall, or it's one thing to, you know, maybe turn off a screen or two and watch as people look perplexed. But they were doing it, like, in the middle of teleconferencing. They were doing it in the middle of, you know, like a video game battle. They were doing it, like, all over the place, and... It's really irresponsible, and a lot of people, you know, are going to call me old, or a lot of people are, you know, it's a very unpopular stance with certain people, you know, basically to say, you know, it was just a prank, it was pretty funny. There was a bit of a chuckle in the beginning of it, but after I started seeing what they were doing and started realizing the repercussions that this could have, I started getting really irritated. I'm going, you know, guys, I would love to have the ability to go to CES just to cover it, like the guys did from the Tech Podcast Network. You guys took that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, the whole nerd credo from Stan Lee. You guys, you know, basically messed with the pooch here. You know, you took what was a really good thing. You know, CES this year actually had separate credentials for bloggers, you know, and media, but at the same point in time, they recognized that blogging was, you know, a valid media form. So they, you know, they set up a room specific for bloggers, and they had a whole bunch of stuff, you know, out there catering to it. And you have the people like Giz that are out there, and they're covering the event, but at the same time, they go and they violate the terms of service for having a media credential. So now everybody's kind of up in arms, not just about this, but because, you know, their basic content, their basic reply was, you know, lighten up. But so that one reporter who actually did it has been banned for life from CES. So if he lives out there, and if this is his pretty much his job, he has, you know, a large economic hole in his wallet right now. And then they're looking into sanctions on the Gawker Media and Gizmodo specifically. You know, I'm personally for, you know, kind of banning them for, you know, give them a 3-year ban. I'm not saying ban them forever, because, you know, forever is a long time. I'm saying, you know, you need to show them the severity of what happened. First of all, Motorola, you know, that's between them and Motorola. If you know, they're the one press event that they did shut down, pretty much. So if Motorola feels like going after them for the setup and the cost, you know, because people spend, or companies and people spend a serious wad of cash to get to CES, to present at CES, without actually, you know, doing anything. What I mean to say here is, like, there's a lot of cost up front to before you even take an LCD out of its package, you know? So the very, you know, the sheer investment that this belongs to is crazy. And then, you know, the little tagline they had under there is, you're really lucky that, you know, that big 150-inch LCD had, or plasma, or whichever one it was, had its IR port covered or disabled. No, you're really lucky. That was the star of the show. Could you imagine, like, this made a small splash in the blogging community. It's slowly growing, so it's going to be a large wave by the time it ends up slapping up against the shore. But could you imagine if the centerpiece of CES, this massive screen that every piece of mainstream media has taken video A and B roll of, could you imagine if while they were doing that, Giz decided to turn the thing off? There would be hell to pay with mainstream media. We're fighting for credibility here, and they go and do this, you know? So it's like, I have a couple friends that are involved in mainstream media. I have a couple contacts online. So it's like, you want to be able to have people regard you with some kind of, like, to think that you might have some kind of sense of journalistic integrity when you're reporting on things. Like, for instance, if there's a product that I'm supposed to be sponsoring, I'm not going to necessarily go out there and, you know, report that it's a fantastic product without letting you know. Full disclosure here, but at the same point in time, you know, there's other things, you know, like I feel a responsibility to my listeners, I feel a responsibility to the content that goes up under my brand. So Gizmodo should have paid a lot more attention to what exactly was happening here, and thought, you know, about, it's not just you that you're representing. I'm not representing, you know, Caffeination and by and large, you know, Puzzle Piece Productions when I do this. No, I'm also representing podcasters when I'm talking to somebody who has never seen a podcast or never listened to one. So you really need to kind of take that into account when you're doing this kind of crap. And you know, I'm all for, you know, Jackass style stunts, you know, the TV show where you throw caution to the wind and you do stupid stuff. But you know, the fallout from this could be huge. I'm hoping that they don't overreact, but at the same point in time, it's like, this could really, really end up being bad for bloggers and podcasters, you know, just in general. So, I mean, I might be overreacting here, and I'd love to hear other people's comment. Please, you know, email me, caffeination@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the show. You know, call in, email in, whatever you feel like doing. We'd just like to hear what other people think. I mean, even if it's just a little Skype chat or a G-Talk chat, I'd just like to hear what other people out there are thinking. I mean, some people are outraged. Some people are saying, you know, there would have been physical violence had they been the presenter. And you know what? My first reaction was somewhat similar. But at the same point in time, you know, after I've had a little bit of time to think about it, I'm like, you know, it was just a bunch of stupid kids, and we want to be regarded as something more than just a bunch of stupid kids. So, you know, putting that aside, we're going to move right along here. Device has a really cool little, you know, basically the 8 trends that ruled this year's show. They kind of stole what, you know, my other website, boilerplate.com, is doing with movies and everything when I get that up and running again. But basically, you know, they give you the top 8 headlines, or the top 8 topics and quotables from what CES did this year. However, the really cool thing that they have going is that they have a picture of a whole bunch of Wiimote accessories. And my favorite Wiimote accessory on the entire thing is a Wiimote shotgun. I mean, how much would you love to have a Wii boomstick in your arsenal? So, I mean, there's the 150-inch concept TV, there's a wireless HD, and even Device takes a little second to you know, slam Gizmodo, which is one of the reasons I saw this. It said, while Gizmodo wasn't busy sabotaging a Motorola presentation, it noticed that wireless content is going HD. So there's a whole bunch of different things, and I just wanted to kind of point you in that direction and say, you know, Macworld's coming. We got to all beware of what Jobs is going to do. I believe the keynote's tomorrow. I could be wrong. But you know, I don't have the date in front of me, and you know, all the Mac people out there are screaming, how can you not have it tattooed on your forearm? But at the same point in time, you know, I like to go into this whole thing as I'm a functionalist. If Mac's put out something that I cannot help but use, then all right, cool. However, you know, if Windows does the same thing, I'm just as much for that. The only problem I have with Macs is that I like to be able to build and configure my own PC from the ground up. I mean, actually put the parts into a box. And until I can do that with a Mac, PCs have a slight edge. And the same thing with Linux. You know, Linux, you can build your own operating system for all intents and purposes, and that has an edge over Windows. But functionality speaking, amount of programs that I need to operate on a daily basis. PC is my main platform. I have a Mac laptop, you know, just everything out there, and I have a bunch of servers that are Linux, so that's pretty much how it goes. Let's see what else we got up here. You know, despite all the, you know, the flack that bloggers have been taking and everything, we need to realize that blogging is much bigger than actually, you know, people who are just, you know, putting diaries and stuff up online. This isn't just, you know, some angst-filled teen. This is also a social media movement. This is also people being able to have activism where the country itself is against having activism. And to kind of, you know, illustrate this, this story really slammed me in a way I don't even know. I couldn't even express fully. I'm not a political blogger. I'm not somebody who's, you know, very, very up on all the issues. And that's partially my fault. It's partially, you know, when I go to events like PodCamp and everything else like that, I see a lot of bloggers and a lot of podcasters who are incredibly serious, and they have very serious and very worthwhile content. Not that I don't think my stuff's any less worthwhile, but I realize I'm much more of an entertainment than and less of a less of an issues podcast. But you know, I just wanted to link to this story and kind of, you know, point you in the direction that blogging is much more than what a lot of people think. This is a story. A Chinese blogger was beaten to death by government officials. Now, this is an incredible downturn for what we usually do here at the podcast, but still, I can't understand it. I can't wrap my head around this. But apparently this guy was taking video with his mobile phone, attempting to record a protest. Now, China is a completely different animal from what we got going here. And I know there's a couple of listeners in China from this podcast, so hopefully we won't get banned in China for that. I know this podcast actually gets through the Great Firewall. But still, basically, then a group of around over 50 municipal inspectors who were being protested against, I can only guess, was attacked, you know, turning on him, attacking him, beating him, kicking him for over 5 minutes, and actually killed him. And so this has sparked outrage in China. So this is like the blogger version of a Tiananmen Square, and it's astounding to me that a media can have so many different faces in the world. So you can have the shiny happy people version, you can have the incredibly grim version, but at the same point in time, we're all one in the backside of this. I mean, you the listeners out there are part of the social media revolution. So hopefully, you know, you're going to take note of stories like this and respond when need be. You know, just contact the appropriate people out there in your life and say, you know what, this is uncalled for. So just by spreading the meme, by spreading the link, by pushing out there the content that these kind of things happen, then, you know, you're helping, you know, forward a social agenda. So hopefully we're going to do our own little part more and more so in the future. But I just really wanted to kind of bring attention to this. So, I mean, we've done it in the past with other different smaller issues, but this is, you know, this is indicative of a much larger problem with how the Chinese government operates. So, all right, we're going to move on to a much lighter story here. I kind of tried to arrange the stories to have a lighter tint, and then that one, you know, really stuck out there, and there's no place I could put it in the podcast without putting like a very dark pall over the entire show. So we're going to incredibly lighten the mood in a completely different direction here. For those of you out there who are fans of Speed Racer, apparently the car has been made real. And there's a company called Racer Motors, a family-owned racing company, that's displaying its Mach 5 race car at the 2008 Detroit Auto Show. Now, I can only think that this is a joke. I mean, if this is real, this is going to be awesome in a level that I can't even explain. So this thing, the Mach 5, I'm just going to read the small sections of this here. This one's listed over at crave.cnet.com. So Crave, the new gadget blog they got going over there. The Mach 5 boasts some impressive specifications. Spinning at 8,500 RPM, the engine produces 1,000 horsepower, and it has 1,000 foot-pounds of torque coming out at 7,000 RPMs. So this thing is massive. Top speeds exceed 300 miles an hour, and they were actually handing out a spec sheet, and so they said it has a bulletproof cockpit jump jacks, saw blades, pops racer. The proprietor of Racing Motors designed the car and is being raced by his son, Speed. The Mach 5's first race is scheduled for May 9th, 2008. So if this is really cool, if this is real, then it's going to be awesome. not that it's going to have its first race. I see that they actually have the car. There's actually like real world pictures. There's not, you know, cartoons drawn out there. But I think it's just kind of fun, kind of cool. So I thought I'd pass it along to you, a little link. Now the next little thing we had here is from Device again, but this lamp looks straight out of Halo. Now I'm all for organic design and making things look a little bit more like the world around them. But this seems to go a little bit too far. Imagine if you took a flower pot and you planted a bulb in it, but you turned it upside down and let the roots grow out of the top of the pot. That's what this thing would look like. Now I said it looks straight out of Halo because there's a very organic life form within Halo called the Flood, which has like these root-like creatures that kind of walk around, and it looks really eerily similar to that, except they didn't have little red hats on. But this, imagine like the omnipresent red drinking cups, if they had like a root structure growing out of the wide end of them, and you invert them. That's what these lamps look like exactly. Not sure exactly how much they cost, but if it looks kind of neat and weird and trendy, it's going to be a ton. So we're just going to pass that along to you. Now, in an effort to spread the open source movement, we have a fun announcement here. Apparently, SimCity, the original game from Maxis, has decided to become open source. The original SimCity, that is. So there's a whole bunch of really cool changes that they made to actually make it out there, and they're porting it under the working title. The original working title for SimCity was Micropolis. So there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff that they're actually doing to it. First of all, they changed the code entirely. The original code was posted in C. This is C++ with Python, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little different. But anybody can change it. You can make changes to the root structure. You can branch it out. So hopefully, we're going to see a whole bunch of different SimCity clones out there. So it's going to be kind of cool to see. Maybe I'll actually put SimCity on my pocket PC or something like that. Wonder which ones they're going to actually compile it for. I need to check that. So that's not just a. So they're not just actually, I'm not actually just putting it in the show to inform all of you. I'm also kind of putting it in there kind of like as a little bookmark to myself so that when I go back to work, I'm going to say, all right, you know, this is one of the ones I got to send to the other people in the department. And the same point in time when I get home again on Monday and Tuesday, this is the one that I got to play on my home computer. You got to put it on the pocket PC for when I'm waiting for meetings to start or in the middle of meetings. But nah, not really. For some reason, my pocket PC doesn't get a good wireless signal, so you know, when everybody else is tapping out their emails and everything else like that on all their little cell phones, I have an issue getting a signal, so you know, you got to do something with it. It's really good for taking notes, but at the same point in time, I just wish I could bump up the wireless signal a little bit. Having some issues with the pocket PC right now, so just felt like venting there for a second. All right, moving right along here. I don't know if anybody out there actually has a Leatherman. I do. I think it's one of the most invaluable tools that anybody can have if you're, you know, not to take on an airplane because it does have knives and everything in there. But if you're an adult, if you're capable of handling a knife, if you're, you know, a fully form-factored person upstairs, if you're an intelligent human being, I think everybody deserves to have a knife on them. I think it's a very useful tool. It's the most basic tool that any culture in the world, and this is an anthropologist speaking, so it's the most basic tool between that and a pokey stick that you can carry with you, and I think it's kind of gone by the wayside in our culture a little bit. So with that in mind, the Leatherman kind of like is the all-in-one, the pliers, the screwdriver, the bottle opener. Although I haven't had a lot of use for a bottle opener. I mean, even with my original scouting knife, you know, I've had more use with the can opener. You know, like at home, if like our can opener breaks, I can pull out my Leatherman or my pocket knife and open the can. So, I mean, that's about it. I never end up using it on the camping trip because we always remember to bring an actual can opener. But here's a Leatherman taken in a completely different direction. This is not Leatherman branded, by the way. This is actually a way to get an office multi-tool. So it's a build-your-own kind of kit here. The kit costs you $20, and basically it allows you to create a calculator, a stapler, a staple remover, and a pair of scissors, and I think that might be it. Oh, and a 39-inch tape measure. So it's a it looks a little bit bulky, but this is version 1.0. You're in on the ground floor of this trend. So this is the office multi-tool, you know? So I just thought it was really cool, and I might actually eventually spring for the $20. Maybe I'll try and you know, sveltify it. Maybe I'll try and make it a little bit thinner, a little bit cooler looking. So, all right. Next little bit of fun that I decided to pass along to you. This one's directly aimed at my wife. Even though she's not going to hear it, I'm definitely going to let her know about it. There's a new advancement in medicine, and I got to love every time technology and medicine kind of cross paths and make something old, you know, one of the tried and true pieces of medicine. For instance, the syringe. They update it. How about this? A ceramic microneedle to make painless injections. Now, what I can only think that the actual picture that they have up there is just a clip art needle. Because what I actually think this is almost like a pad that you would actually do. And it's tiny, tiny, tiny little ceramic hybrid materials that create micro needles that stick into your skin. Now, organic materials can be sharper than any metal known to man. Just wanted to put that out there. When I was in archaeology, we actually had one of the instructors who was making scalpels for use with eye surgery. Why scalpels? Well, he was making them out of obsidian, black glass. Because when obsidian breaks, it breaks down to the molecular level, giving you an unbelievably razor-sharp edge to actually do surgery on the eye. And, you know, they're completely completely sanitary, so you can actually sterilize them and everything else like that, just like you would a metal tool, and then you just throw the tip out, so just like you would with a metal tool after the fact. The only thing is you can't sharpen metal that sharp, so there's always some kind of scar tissue. So if you were to get cut with an obsidian blade, and I've actually been cut by them, you know, when we were actually trying to make the stone tools and everything like that, there is no scar if it heals correctly, which is why they're used in eye surgery sometimes, and, you know, when they're not using lasers, which are by and large a lot cooler because they're the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, on one hand, you know, you have one eye being operated on, you can go two directions. You can either go, you know, 21st century on it and hit it with the lasers, or you could go completely, like, you know, BC style and hit it with a obsidian scalpel. So, you know, it's fun to see that, you know, the advances in medicine that are out there, and, you know, the ceramic microneedles. So there might be a day where my wife doesn't have to dread going to the doctors to get blood drawn. I don't know if they can actually pull blood out. Maybe it's only put stuff in. But, you know, just in general, I think this is going to be kind of cool. I'm one of those people where every once in a while they have a hard time getting blood out of me. And I think, yeah, I can't give blood on my right-hand side because the vein over there, for some reason, they have issues issues tapping it. But on the right-hand side, I got a pretty good pipe, so they hit that really good. But you know, I know a lot of people out there who are scared of needles. So this is just one of those really cool things where it's kind of fun to see this kind of intersection, you know? All right, now the last little link here. Every once in a while, I find something that, you know, I don't know if it's because I hate productivity, but every once in a while I find something that I know is going to cause lost productivity around the podosphere, as the case may be. And I would like to apologize to any and all managers that might hear this right up front. I'm not going to be downloading this for quite some time. I played the online version of it for a little while, and I was lucky because you actually need to do things that my Mac laptop at the time was having trouble doing. I think just some of the controls didn't work correctly on the laptop. Maybe it might have been the version of Flash I had. But this is 3D Tetris. All right, that's right. So imagine it's a 6x6x6, or it's a 6x6x24 grid. So imagine a piece of graph paper, and you take six little rows, and they're your x-axis, and then you have six little rows, and they're your y-axis, the same way you would do, you know, normal Tetris, and then you have six little rows that are the z-axis. So you can actually have the parts that drop down and rotate them in a three-dimensional space, and it just looks really addictive. I've tried it, and even with the limited controls I had at the time, I knew that it would be a problem. So I'd like to share my problem with everybody else out there. So if you have any other fun little internet games or stuff like that you'd like to share and help kill productivity, we might make this a fairly frequent appearance here on the show. Yeah, just the, do you hate productivity? And then I'm going to give you a link, which I know is going to get people in trouble. So just remember, don't do this in work, people. You might want to do this at home, but at the same point in time, it's one of those things where it's, this is just an awesome concept. I'm glad somebody found a way to take Tetris and, you know, kind of update it a little bit, you know? All right, now the next little thing here, somebody sent me this like four times, and it's not somebody who listens to the show, but I just wanted to kind of put it out there for you people. This is the stupid link of the day, basically, and we're on into the caffeine and food section. Now, usually you'd think if somebody was going to send me a stupid link of the day, it would actually be a definitely a tech-related article. Now, the only way this actually is related to tech is the fact that it's online. It's what type of coffee are you? Now, there's a couple different tests out there that apparently give different results, because I only found this one tonight when the person sent it to me on MySpace, I think. It's actually myspace.com/caffeination, by the way, if you're interested. But it's basically what type of coffee are you? So by answering these five different questions that they have right here, and I'm just going to give you an easy rundown of what the five questions are. It tells you exactly what kind of coffee and what your caffeine addiction level is. So it says, when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you think? And just an example of headache. I hope it's a beautiful day outside. Need caffeine now. Okay, just get out of bed as quickly as I can. Do I smell coffee? And I can't wait to enjoy my day. So you pick one of those many fine choices, and then you run through the other questions, like where do you get your coffee from? What kind of movie are you most likely to see on a Friday night? In most social settings, you, and you're totally stressed out. How do you cope? Now, you answer those five questions, and it gives you the kind of coffee that you are definitely. So the first couple times I did it, it said I was black coffee, which is pretty cool because that's actually what I drink all the time. I drink nothing in it. Just plain black coffee. You know, just open up a tap right into my vein. That's what you're going to get coming right out. For some reason, every time I answer the questions on this one, I get espresso. So just thought it was kind of funny. Thought I'd pass it along. And hopefully you might find some small amount of amusement in this. But you know, I don't get the movie question. I mean, I think it might have made sense to the person who, and this is in all the surveys. For some reason, they all use the same questions with very tiny differentials on the actual answers, like the wording. So instead of need caffeine now, the one thing is, if I don't get a cup of coffee, I'm going to kill somebody, which I think I picked multiple times. And then slight variations, slight deviations, and then this is the only one where I was actually an espresso. So in that kind of way, there was actually a story that was up on Gizmodo before the fallout there, so I decided to go right to the source here and check you out with the Handpresso. It's a fun little product. The website's in English, although the website points you to the France site, so I think it's a French company, obviously, but it's a really neat little interesting idea. There's a video on there how it works. Basically, imagine a bicycle pump with a pod of coffee off to the one side. You fill it with hot coffee in the tiny little thing. You pump it up to 16 bars of pressure, then you hit the little button after you put the espresso pod in there, and it makes you a perfect cup of espresso. One tiny little shot. Basically, it's a travel version of an espresso maker. The only problem is getting the hot water there. Now, if they had a version like this, like a cartridge where you could slide it in after you made like a little crack on it, you know, like the hand warmers, you know what I mean? So if you just cracked that, popped it in there, and then you had like like a six shooter, you know, where you could just, you know, preload it with water and it would keep the water nice and hot. They do sell other products. This thing comes in at €99, so that's roughly like $948. I'm just, you know, kind of guessing for the replay value here, of the caffeination. So in a year, I'm pretty sure it's probably gonna end up being something like that. But I think right now that's somewhere around like $175, and you can snag yourself a Handpresso. It looks really interesting, and for somebody who doesn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of getting the espresso machine, and you don't want to make an espresso with the espresso pot, this is a neat little way. And I know that a lot of people drink espresso more so than coffee in the world. So, just fun little idea, and they sell it with a travel case. They sell it with, let me see what all they got. They also have the thermo-insulated flask with integrated thermometer. So, I'm pretty sure after the hot water drops below a certain temperature, it's not useful for actual espresso anymore. However, if you don't have one of them, I would suggest a glass-lined carafe, because that sucker can keep my coffee steaming for days. I don't even lie. 2 days ago, I made a nice hot pot of coffee, poured it in there, and I forgot about it after I had locked it nice and tight. So that was on Friday night. On Saturday, didn't drink it at all. Sunday around noon, I opened it up because I found out that it was heavy, and the coffee was still steaming, the coffee was still good. I was amazed. I think that's the longest period that I've ever gone. Now, there's no other extra installation in there, and I've talked these things up. You know, I might as well just brand a Caffeination brand glass-lined carafe and just put it out there, because I'm pretty sure with the amount of money, the amount of time I spend talking about it, I could probably sell a couple of them. But all right, and then the last little thing we have here for the podcast is kind of a tale of horror and woe. Wonder if anybody else out there can relate. So I call this In the Still of the Night, Coffee Drinker's Horror Tale. Now, let's just say you have your mild-mannered coffee drinker, such as myself, who enjoys a good cup of coffee at night, and he had not a drop of instant coffee in the house, which is something that I will drink in a pinch. The problem here is that usually I'll have coffee, you know, in a can somewhere, that, you know, as a backup. There was no coffee in the house other than the fine beans that I had been recently gifted. So I was like, okay, this is fine. And I look at my wonderful Cuisinart grind and brew coffee maker sitting in the kitchen. Now, this is around 11 o'clock at night. I was like, okay, yeah, this will be fine. So I pour the coffee beans into the top and set everything all up. And then I take a look back at the time and realize in the dead of the night, in the still of the house, the house was quiet. You could literally hear the cats running in the basement. You know, if the cats were running around, they hit like a paper bag. You could hear it in the basement. I was up in the kitchen. And, you know, we live in a row house, like a townhome, if you're more familiar with that term. So it's not a big house. But, you know, usually there's a little bit of activity either outside or inside or in one of the neighbor's houses. And, you know, kind of masks some of the noise that was going down. So I quickly realized that this was just simply not going down. Do. I would pretty much wake up our house and probably a couple other houses if I started grinding coffee in the Cuisinart. So I was like, okay. So I emptied out that and I was like, all right, I have a little hand grinder somewhere around here. It took me 45 minutes to find the hand grinder. I finally eventually did. But now I have like a little emergency packet of ground coffee that I'm keeping in the freezer. I don't know if anybody else out there has ever seen this, but I'm pretty sure as your tastes get more and more sophisticated, you trend towards wanting better and better coffee. Now, I always had the instant kind of like as the backup, and I never really, he's like, you know what? And the funny thing that when I was telling this story to some other people is that he said, well, why wouldn't you just, you know, hold off having a cup of coffee? It's like, well, you're obviously not as addicted to coffee as I am. We're just going to come right out and say it, because that thought didn't even enter into my mind until the next day when I mentioned it to somebody and they responded in kind. So I just thought it was kind of fun. Just thought I would pass the buck along, as the case may be. Thought you would find it a little bit interesting and hopefully kind of humorous. So it took me probably around a little bit over an hour to actually have my fun little cup of coffee. Then that was on Friday night, like I said, so I put it right into the carafe and didn't have the next cup of coffee out of the pot until Sunday around noon. So thanks you everybody so much for listening to this, the 198th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the music for today's show was provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, or other various tiny little sources online, such as some of the backtracks you're hearing. The Caffeination is a proud member, like I said, of the Tech Podcast Network. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And last but most certainly not least, the Caffeination is a Puzzle Piece production. So we'd like to thank everybody for listening to today's show. Just remember, tune in not only this night, but every Sunday and Wednesday night. You're going to hear Caffeination, or shortly thereafter. We've been pretty much on schedule the past couple months, so we're hoping to keep that up. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.